Before we begin this episode, I want to give a huge shout out to all of our patrons. Without your support, this podcast really wouldn't be possible. I want to give a shout out specifically to Jen, Jesus V, Daniel V, Yahi, Adri, Cassandra G, Linda M, Saul Alexander Z, Abigail, Aranya, and Kimberly. All of y'all have contributed hella, so thank you so much. If you would like to help this podcast exist, feel free to support us on Patreon. The link is in the description of the episode. You can also find us at patreon.com/bitterbrownfam.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks.
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Bitter Brown Femmes. This is Cassandra.
And this is Ruben.
What's up? I feel like we always do the intro and then it's like pause and then we're like, what's up, bitches?
Because you're the worst. Like,
there's like, I always forget to follow up with that, so it's awkward and I apologize for that.
What is up?
How are you all doing today? How are you doing today,
Ruben? I am okay. You know, just wishing I had therapy money at the moment.
Yeah. It's funny, but it's like crying on the inside.
Yeah, TBH. No, it's been like a rough couple of weeks. But I am, you know, alive, and that means something to some people.
It does. It does to me. Thank Aww. You for being here. I wanted to take a quick, before I forget, two things. I wanted to apologize on the last episode because, like, when I listened to it, like, you can hear, like, me, like, in my mocos, like, when I was crying, and I was like, oh my god, like, like, I'm sure all of you lovely people didn't mind. You know, maybe you did, I don't know, but I apologize for that. But also, it's funny because one of the comments that we had received recently was, like, something like, oh, my favorite thing about this podcast is that you hear all these fucking birds in the background. That's, like, fucking Mexican. And, like, it's funny. It's funny. It's sad because we wish that we could just, you know, have, like, a silence and be able to record in peace. But, and right now, these fucking birds, okay, they're my mom's birds. And I want you all to know that they are not in the room with me. They sound like they are. But they are literally, like, in another room. And I even put that fucking cover on them. And they will not shut up. They're always fucking fighting. They're married. They have problems. So that's what that is, okay?
Yeah.
Men are trash, okay?
We be in the hood. Like, there was just, like, a lawnmower that went off randomly before we start. Like, right before we started. And then I also have a bird. And it also yips or whatever that noise they make.
You know, but we're still better than a lot of those podcasts out there, because did you all see that, like, who was it that published that article about podcasts that, like,
the thing, the New York Times.
Was it Conan, huh?
There's two articles, but one of them was on Conan O'Brien
about how Conan O'Brien, I guess, he ventured into the podcasting world recently and how he's changing the world of podcasting. I didn't even read it. I just saw, like, the title and I was like, okay. And then there was a New York Times one, and I know that it was about, like, a white girl.
Yeah, it's about these white girls being like, podcasting is dead.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw that through the Locatoras.
Yeah, I saw them posting about it, and shout out to them, because, like, that's where I saw it, and they were, like, listing all these obviously amazing podcasts run by, like, folks of color who are, like, DIYing this shit like us. So, you know, we don't have, like, that fancy shit, but here we are, birds and all.
Yeah, we have an Audacity program, we have a Blue Yeti microphone, and we have birds that chip. Oh, and we have a Skype connection, because, again... Yeah,
that's the revolution, the podcast revolution right
TBH.
Here.
TBH.
And you're all a part of it, so congrats to you all.
That reminds me that, like, Glenn Close has a podcast, too. It's, like, a musical podcast, and I was very excited about it, and then I found out that I had to pay for it, and then I was not excited about it anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't even charge you, bitches. We're like broke as shit. We're like, I wish we could go to therapy.
We're like a little, our little can Patreon, sir. Patreon.
Yeah. So
that reminds us. That reminds me. Before I forget, I should say it in the beginning instead of the end. If you want to book us so we can like afford therapy money, feel free to reach out to us at bitterbrownfemspodcast.com/bookings so that we can go meet you at your org or your school and talk some shit live. Yes. Yeah.
And or also sign up to be our Patreon if you're not already. Shout out to our patrons all the time. Mm-hmm. And anyone who's ever been a patron, because, you know, sometimes you got that money to, like, spare and donate, and then sometimes you can't. And, like, that's valid as fuck, too. So thank you to anyone who's ever supported us in any way, even by just listening or sharing our shit.
Yeah. So this episode, we are going to cover topics per usual, but we're also going to answer some questions that patrons left. And then we're going to transition into topics.
Yes.
All right. So the first question that was on the thingy was, are there any funny quirks that you notice about one another?
Ruben sleeps on top of all of his blankets.
I know that. I didn't expect that to be put on blast, but I know that that bothers people. Like,
I don't even know if that's a quirk.
Apparently it is, because I've been, like, called on it a lot. Like, when I live with a bunch of queers and trans folks, they were, like, always being like, Ruben sleeps on top of his blankets. Like, and I'm like, yeah, who sleeps under them? Like,
me. A lot of people. I don't know.
But then you have to do your bed every day.
That is true. I do not, because I'm like, I'm going to sleep in it again. It's my mom. My mom, actually, she's, you know, I always talk about my mom. She's such a fucking, like, ugh, you know, something, like, you always have to do things her way. And so, like, when, ever since we were little, like, if we were to sleep on top of the bed, like, she would be pissed. Like, if I, like, if we got some random blanket over us, like, she'd be like, no, you better sleep under the sheets and the blanket. Like, not just the blanket either. You better sleep under, like, the two sheets. So, like, that's just ingrained in me. And sometimes I'll, like, one time I fell asleep, like, sometimes I'll fall asleep on top of the blankets and she'll dog me for real. So, but
I think a quirk I noticed from you is that you, like, skip a lot of, like, expository information. Like,
wow, okay.
You'll be like, I was late or something. Like, you just skip, like, you just skip information, and then we're just supposed to figure it out. Sometimes. Sometimes I do. A lot of the times I know what you're talking about. But sometimes it's just like, no, repeat. Like, no, what do you mean?
Oh my God, drag me. Something. It's actually, like, I catch myself doing that, and, like, it is that. Like, I don't know if I just think too highly of myself or some shit, where I'm just like, mm-hmm. They know what I'm talking about. And, like, if they, like, especially with, like, Jose, like, I'll tell him, like, he'll, like, I'll be very vague, for example, but in my head I'm not. I'm just like, oh, it's, like, common sense that you should know this. And he's like, what? Like, I don't know, like, what do you, like, can you elaborate on that? You know, fucking Sarah Palin and shit. And, yeah. I do that. And I like, I get, yeah, I'm like, let me not. Because, like, I do that. And then I get mad that people don't know what I'm talking about. When I'm like, fucking obviously, like, you should know what I'm talking about. Or you should know why I was late. There was a fucking car wreck or something, you know, like, I don't know. Yes, I do that. So I apologize for that if I've ever done that to you. It's a Sagittarius in me. Like, you know. It, yeah, my Virgo moon is upset every time I do that. That I don't talk about details, so.
Another question is, like, they feel like Bitter Brown Femme should have a birthday list for our anniversary. And what would be on our birthday list if we wanted one? I feel like our birthday's in the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Two years.
We started, like, in September. Yeah, 2 years.
You know what would be awesome? If we got booked for a two, like... Because it's, I mean, it does, one of the things that does suck, like, that we don't live together is, like, we can't have, like, our own events, like, yeah. I'm not saying, like, we would have events, like, every week and shit, but, like, it'd be cool to have, like, to be able to do that, you know, like, just not in a university setting or anything, just kind of, like, chill and talk to people and have our own events, but, like, obviously that's hard, because, like, we only see each other when we get booked, you know, so it would be cool, like, if we got booked and had, like, a... I don't know. Or maybe next year. I don't know. Like, an event. Like, an actual birthday event. celebrating our 2 years, but since that's not like a thing, I guess I don't know.
That's it for me, TBH, too. I was going to say, like, plane tickets so we can see each other, but I feel like your idea is much better.
We're all selfish. I'm on My Chemical Romance reunion. You know, but that would be cute. Like, and then we had a cake of our faces, like a Bitter Brown Femmes cake. That'd be super cute.
Yeah.
So someone should do that. Hello, who? Any rich people listening to this podcast? I feel like no rich TBH. People listen to this.
Well, John Leguizamo follows me on Instagram. Who? And Kalani follows John Leguizamo.
Oh, he follows you? Well, what the fuck?
Yeah. And Kalani follows you. I'm just like putting my tin can out there.
You know who followed and unfollowed me on Chicanismo? George Lopez.
Shut up.
He used to follow me and then like I noticed he unfollowed me and I was like, oh, it was probably like too much for him.
Who unfollowed me? I think that John Leguizamo is the only like A-lister that follows me. But he still never gives me money, so here we are.
I hate that all these celebrities like follow me. And I'm like, every time like people like kindly or like, here's $5, thanks for this post or whatever, when I'm like, oh, yeah. I need money for school, whatever, like none of these bitches like send money to me. But I know like you fucking follow me because I see your ass liking my post all the time. So it's like,
yeah.
So, you know, like here you are like taking all this labor from me and like you're rich and you can't even donate. Fuck you.
That reminds me of that Gina Rodriguez tweet. You know what I'm talking about?
The Hispanic, like, let's look up some Hispanic scholarships, mama, or something.
Yes. Some young Latina looking for scholarship money or looking for, like, to help with her tuition tweeted Gina Rodriguez, like, hey, can you help a Latina sister out, pay for tuition? And then Gina Rodriguez was like, I know that the Hispanic institution has scholarships. Let's do some research, mama. And I'm like, what? It would have been better if you just ignored that tweet and not tweeted back at her.
I think about that tweet all the time. It's so sad. But, okay, next question. Oh, also, since, like, we're, like, thinking of all these things we would like for our anniversary birthday, I guess, I don't know, at the end of the day, we appreciate just, like, all of your reviews, all of your, like, if you would review us so people can find us on iTunes, if you would, like, share our episodes, if you would, like, sign up to be a Patreon, like, those things really help us go a long way. So those are always... Those are all on our birthday wish list, I guess, that are more possible to do. That you can give us, I guess.
Yeah. Other than that, like, I don't know. I'm pretty much living the life out here in air-polluted Maywood Bell. Mm. Another question we got was, any funny worst date stories?
Go ahead, Ruben.
I know that I have a funny, like, whole date. I mean, I've had some bad dates, like... I don't know, when I was, like, in my mid-20s, I went out with this guy who was, like, in his early to mid-30s, and he thought he was introducing me to culture by taking me to Little Tokyo, and I was like, no, I've been here before. Like,
oh my god.
And he was also being kind of racist. He was also Latino, but, and I was just, like, so embarrassed of him doing random shit that I was like, just drop me off at home. Like, I'm so done. Like... Because this is, like, in a pre-Lyft era. Mm-hmm. It's funny how, like, new Lyft is. Like, just, like, 5-6 years ago, like, this is not a thing.
Mm-hmm. The kids have it so easy now.
I know. Ooh. So that was worst date. But funny one is, like, this guy that I was dating in high school, I had a huge crush on him. We finally got together. And, like, apparently, like, I was his first kiss. And, or, like, second kiss, but one of his, like, first three kisses in his life. And we were in my house, and, like, we kissed, and then he farted, like, immediately, like, fart, like, straight up. And it was stinky, and I was...
Did he react to it? Like, was he, like, oh, I'm sorry, or acted like it didn't happen?
Well, at first we were trying to act like it didn't happen. But then the smell was just so strong, and all of our friends were in the other room, and I think they heard, or they were being nosy, and everybody just laughed, and...
Oh my god, like, that's so embarrassing! So you didn't acknowledge it, though? Like, you weren't like, it's okay?
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it. Like, and then they were like, you know what, I'm just gonna go home.
Oh my god. That's so sad. Did you ever talk to him again?
Yeah, oh, okay. We were part of the same friend group. Like, oh, okay. All of my friends when I was like a sophomore, they were seniors. So, they were like juniors. And we were all friends. Yeah, I mean, we eventually did it in his car on my graduation day. So.
Okay. The fart did not stop. It didn't change anything.
No, he was cute.
That's very nice. Very nice.
It was cool to, you know, not have to introduce anyone new to the friend group.
Yeah. I have a couple bad dates. Most of them, I was a bad date. But that's it's so sad. this one time I met up with a girl. She lived in Las Cruces. Las Cruces is like 30, 40 minutes outside of El Paso. So anyway, I went, and this was MySpace. We had met on MySpace, so I went to go meet her. And she was like, oh, we're going to go to my friend's house and drink. I was like 18, 19. I was like really nervous because I really liked her, and I, or whatever, I was just trying to be cool, like, with her friends. So I was like, yeah, make me that mixed drink. And I started just drinking. I think it was like vodka, and I was fucked up like an hour in. And so we kissed, like, when we kissed, like, right after, I was like, I'm going to throw up. And I ran to the bathroom, and I threw up the whole night. And, and I had to stay there at her friend's house. And the next morning, like, it was just, like, embarrassing for me, where I was like, wow, like, I can't believe I did that. And, but she didn't stop talking to me. We actually ended up dating. She is the worst, by the way, but aside from the point. And then I always think it's funny because, like, the same thing happened to me, but with this guy. So, like, I went to his house, like, the first time we hung out, and I also got fucked up. And, like, I started throwing up, and I passed out. But when I woke up, he was like, you need to leave. And, like, he never talked to me again. He, like, never talked to me again. And it's, like, so embarrassing to me because, like, sometimes I'll see him because he works at the mall, and I'm like... Like, yeah, like, and I just think it's funny the differences between, like, lesbians and, like, guys, you know, because, like, that girl, she didn't give a fuck. She was like, oh, okay, this bitch is drunk, like, it's totally cool, you can stay here at my friend's house, whatever. And then this guy was like, get out. But anyway, one bad date, though, that I had, like, a few, like, 4 years ago, maybe, was a Tinder date hookup. We were, okay, whatever, it was a Tinder thing, and I went over to his house, and we were going to, quote unquote, watch a movie. Then all of a sudden, this bitch was like, let's go to the bar because my friends are, I don't know what. And I was like, okay, I guess, because I wasn't really feeling him that much to, like, hook up, because I noticed he wore boxers. But anyway, so we went to the bar. I don't like guys that wear boxers. I'm sorry. They're immature. And
what?
Yes, boxers. Not boxer briefs. Boxers, like, from when you're 15 and, like, a skater. Like, no, thank you. Grow up. Anyway. So we went to the bar, and I'm, like, talking to him, and he's not white, okay? He was, like, Latino, but anyway, he literally told me he was a capitalist, and talking shit about, this was when I was a Chicano studies major, I know, this was, like, way back, when I was still on, like, yes, you know, whatever, but I was telling him about, you know, Chicano studies, and, like, that's what I study, technically, and anyway, ended up, he just started telling me about how his, Abuelo came over and worked really hard to, I guess, you know, be a capitalist, and that's why he's a capitalist. And it was a hot mess, and I literally just left him there at the bar. I had to leave. I left.
Damn.
Yeah. So that was awful. Wasted my time. But, well, thank you for those questions, and maybe for our, you know, our anniversary episode, we'll have a special episode, and we'll take more questions. So, yes. Yeah. Thank you.
And this is questions from our patrons.
Yes,
so.
Specifically for patrons, so shout out to them, always.
Yeah. All right. Now on to the show.
Okay. So I know our last episode was, for me, was really heavy. That was like, yeah, the beginning of this month, because now we're nearing September. But so it's been almost a month. September 3rd will be a month of the El Paso shooting, and let's see, at the day after we recorded, actually, I had mentioned on our last episode that Trump came to El Paso to visit people in the hospital, unfortunately, because, like, that would be the last fucking thing I would want to see. Apparently a lot of people declined to meet with him, a lot of the victims in the hospital for, you know, various, like, I would assume different reasons, like, they just don't fuck with him. I mean, you're also, like, healing, grieving, you don't want to, you know, be put in that spot. There's also, like, language barriers, I'm sure, like, a lot of different reasons, but a lot of people didn't meet, a lot of the victims did not meet with them. One of the only families, I think, that met with him was, so two of the victims of the El Paso shooting were a couple, a husband and a wife, and they got a lot of attention because it, like, they kept reporting on how the mom fell on her, like, 3-month-old baby, and the baby survived, right? So that family of that couple that was married, like, their family met with Trump, and that is because the father of the baby that survived, he was a Trump supporter. And there, I guess his family is too. And so there was, like, this picture of Trump with them holding, and then Melania, every time I say her name, I feel like it's, like, millennial, is holding, like, the baby. And it's just, like, to me, like, when I saw a picture, I was like, this is so disgusting. But, you know, people were like, why would they agree to that? And it's because they are Trump supporters. And, the girl, the mother of the baby, she's white. Her family, like, she's white, but he was Mexican, and he was a Trump, I'm sure, I don't know about her, but he was a Trump supporter, his family, Trump supporters, and it was just, like, reinforcing everything I'd said about, you know, a lot of brown folks, a lot of Latinx folks who all of a sudden are, like, oh, that could have been me, right? And so, like, we're hoping even that it took you, like, it took a shooting for you to realize that it could have been you, to, like, denounce white supremacy or denounce Trump, right? But then there's people that are, like, still going to be supporters of Trump, like, regardless, because that to me is, like, how are you still fucking with Trump after what happened to your child? Like, what happened to your son? What happened to your family? Like, that to me is, like, so wild, but it's also, like, that's how, like, people are, like, just refuse to, like, I don't know. Like, it's really wild to me that even after all that, people still are like, no, Trump is not at fault. Like, Trump didn't do, like, it's fucking sad. It's fucking sad, but that happened. But anyway, the next day a few of us had wanted to do something in response to Trump's visit, because, like, every time, like, when Trump came last time, there was, like, let's protest his visit, but, like, the organizations here that put on these protests, like, they're not really, to me, they don't really do anything when you're just gathering at a park and you have O'Rourke speaking. Like, that doesn't say anything to me. You're not denouncing Trump's visit. You're not denouncing white supremacy. You're just like, let's all love each other at the park, you know, like, in response to Trump coming. And so we went to the memorial site, which the memorial site is at Walmart. Like, there's, like, flowers and candles. I haven't been there in a while. This was, like, at the beginning of the month when we recorded. We had gone to the memorial site, and we took these banners that said, like, we really wanted a message that was, like, let's denounce white supremacy in this attack, but also let's highlight other forms of white supremacy that happen in El Paso, because we don't want to just center the shooting, right? Like, there's militarization here, there's concentration camps here, there's, like, xenophobia here. And we got met with different reactions. I think obviously because we were at the memorial site, because people don't want to talk about white supremacy right now, they just want to mourn, quote unquote. My favorite thing was that they drowned our chants out with an MLK tape. Like, they had Martin Luther King's speech, like, on a loop. And then when we started, like, speaking and chanting, they turned it up really high. And, like, it's such a, like, liberal tactic to, like, use MLK specifically, like, to silence people, which is, like, fucked up. But anyway, we also went to the protests, quote-unquote liberal protests, where O'Rourke was speaking and, like, disrupted him when he was speaking. And then they were, like, some people there were upset that we were there too. So people are still, like, on this El Paso strong bullshit of, like, we're all happy and, like, we're, like, a great city. And I mean, nothing really has changed, and I don't think anything's going to change. I think everyone's going to forget about this in, like, another month, and people are already like going back to proudly being xenophobic racist online. So, and I think that's just like with every mass shooting, like thoughts and prayers for like a month, and then it's like, okay, now we just have to wait for the next awful fucked up thing to happen so we can repeat the cycle. But yeah, that's just an update. Oh, another thing, there's been a lot of fundraisers for the victims of El Paso. Like they've raised, I think, over like $5 million to give to the, like, wow, the families, which I'm not against, obviously. Like, obviously you want to donate to those people. They lost their family, their whatever the case may be. But like, I don't know, like I feel very, I don't even want to say bothered's the word, because like, I just feel like a month in and people are still holding like fundraisers for the victims relief fund, and it's like they have a lot of money, and like I just feel like people have never shown up for like other causes in that way. Like, again, especially in El Paso, where it's like we're still donating money to these people, and like it sounds fucked up, and it might sound fucked up like to other people, me saying like, oh, they shouldn't get money, and like, why are they getting money? Like, it's not really necessarily that they're getting money, it's just like that first, that's a lot of money, but second of all, it's like that's like the only gesture that people are like offering, where it's like, let's just donate money, because it's easy to say like, I donated $5, I did a fundraiser for this and I did that, when it's like we're not really like trying to prevent the next thing from happening. We just want to donate like $5 million and be like, look, we all like pitched in. But then when it comes to like bailing migrants and refugees out of like detention in El Paso, everyone's like, I don't have money for that, sorry. You know, or just not just that, just anything in El Paso. But it's just a lot to see happen. Anyway, I don't want to have a whole conversation. I feel like I talked a lot and I'm sorry. There's just like a lot of feelings still lingering about the aftermath too. And I'm sure I'll keep talking about it. But that was just a quick little update on that. So I guess like the one of the big things that's been happening, I guess, worldwide is these Amazonian fires, because I see both, but the fires are happening in the Amazon, which is like a lot to unpack. It's specifically happening in Brazil, and so I think when people started posting about it, it was like climate change, like, oh, like the Amazon's on fire, like, which is like not an out of the norm thing for, obviously climate change is very fucking real. But the thing is, like, it's not climate change specifically. Like, these are intentional fires that were set right after indigenous people actually won a lawsuit. And so it ties into just, like, indigenous rights, indigenous, like, resistance towards, like, colonialism, towards everything, right? But I don't know. I feel like the conversation is just, like, it's like a lot. It's a lot because, like I said, people are trying to say it's climate change, and so they're just focused on like it being climate change. And then like people are like, the people that are saying like, this isn't climate change, this is like intentional, are still talking about it without including like indigenous people or indigenous voices in the conversation, where it's just like, yes, it was intentional and it affects everybody though. And it's true. It does affect everybody. Like, everybody is going to be affected by it, but the number one people that are affected are like the indigenous people that live there, like literally live there, right? And so like I haven't really posted them, like I have posted about it, but not, I feel like, as much as I want to. And that's because like I'm really trying to just find people that are indigenous to share that, like whether it's tweets or articles or something, because I also feel like that's who I want to center, right? Because they're like, yes, we're all affected by it, but also like they're the number one people that are affected by it.
Yeah, and like this isn't new, right? Like I remember as far back as like the Olympics in Brazil, where the government was like hauling indigenous people out of their lands and out of buildings that they had like taken over, right? And this is just, like, a continuous, like, legacy. Like, is this connected to colonization, to imperialism from, like, day one, right? When the Spaniards and the Portuguese got to Latin America and just fucked everything over. I think a lot of us went into a panic about, I know I certainly did about, like, oh, you know, the Amazon is burning and the Amazon provides like 20% of the oxygen in the world. And then I was kind of like knocked, somebody like knocked some sense into me and was like, it's understandable that some of us are having this anxiety about like climate change, but it's like indigenous people have been fighting this for so long, right? Like, and if they don't develop anxiety about this, like, you need to figure out how you can help, right? And so that I've also been like not so much talking about it. I mean, I've been like retweeting things or like sharing things that other people are saying, but myself, I haven't, just because like there's so many like nonprofits are coming up like pretending they're gonna help and then they don't, and so I don't want to like promote something that isn't gonna help people directly, which is like something that folks are bringing up, is like all these nonprofits are just gonna take your money and then not do shit with it. So I'm trying to figure out how to connect with folks who are there, who can use direct aid there, and then also like in Mauna Kea and Humatao in New Zealand. All these places are being affected, right, by colonization, by imperialism. Like with Mauna Kea, for example, in Hawaii, like they're fighting to install a freaking satellite. Like, how is this satellite like more important than like sacred land, right? Like, I think people, what confuses me about capitalist a lot is that, like, what do you think, like, the end goal of capitalism is to like basically waste all the fucking resources in the world. Like, what do you think the end game here is? Like, where do you think you're gonna go once you have all this money but no natural resources anymore? And so, like, no, as far as we know, no other planet is inhabitable right now. So what are you doing? Like, what are you planning to do? Because at the, like, people, like, I saw a lot of white vegans get on their shit about, like, oh, if people just stop eating meat, then we wouldn't have this problem. There would be no burning for crops or whatever. And I'm like, bitch, everybody could stop eating meat and, like, you know, shit wouldn't change, right? If anything, they would just switch to like, overproducing vegetables and soy and all this other stuff. Like, if you're not tackling capitalism at its root, then your approach to this, to climate change in general, is just, it's nonsensical. It's not helpful.
Yeah, it's very individual. And it's actually also borderline, if not, like, racist, too, and, like, classes, because the conversations of, like, climate change and, like, how to change or, like, be green or whatever the fuck we're calling it is, like, always directed at poor people and always directed at people of color specifically. Like, and it's always from fucking white vegans. It's always from, like, people that are middle class or, like, upper class, right? And it's, like, it's easy for you to say these things and for you to go vegan and for you to, quote-unquote, be green to begin with, right? But second of all, it also erases the fact that people of color and poor people have been, quote-unquote, green for fucking ever. And that's, like, not even by choice sometimes, you know? Like, riding bikes, like, taking public transportation, like, fucking reusing every single thing, not just bags, but, like, Tupperware. Like, every single thing, like, all of those things that we do naturally or that we've, like, grown up doing is, like, seen as, like, green. Like, when white people do it. But when we do it, like, we're still getting, it's, like, erased and we're still getting blamed for, like, not doing enough. And, you know, like, the whole straw conversation that we've talked about, like, even if, like, we stop using straws like that, sweetie pie, like, that's not, I'm sorry, that, like, what are you doing? Like, I remember, like, it's like, ridiculous to think that. And, like, I had posted about it, like, about that, too, about how white people need to start taking accountability for, like, the shit, like, specifically this tweet that I shared, that said white people gotta stop with humans destroy the planet. They're trying to separate themselves from the legacy of whiteness, colonialism, imperialism, and capitalism. We need to be very clear on the persons responsible for ongoing environmental genocide. And that's the same with, like, the vegan thing, where it's like, who started, like, the way that we, like, the meat industry, like, it wasn't people of color. Like, that's white people shit. Like, and corporations. And so when you're like also erasing the fact that who, like, to be vegetarian, to be vegan, it's like who is growing your food? Who is also being exploited by the capitalist system? Like black and brown, like farm workers, black and brown people that work in these industries and like horrible conditions at the same time. So it's not like, and it's funny when like white vegans go out, like specifically, like I had blocked this person because sorry, I'm bringing it up because it just happened, but they had like when I posted that about like white people taking responsibility, they like DM'd some person DM'd me and they're like, I agree with you about white people destroying the planet. I get it, but are you not going to talk about how animal agriculture negatively affects the planet as well? And then I was like, no. Like I just said no. Like I was like, I'm not even gonna give you an explanation. Like, first of all, this person doesn't even follow me. Like their account is private, but it's obviously like a vegan. Like they say they're vegan on their bio. So like I'm like, first of all, you don't follow me. You know? Second of all, like you just want me to make a post and tell everyone like to go vegan, whatever. And so I just said no. And they're like, can I ask why? And then like I didn't reply because I'm like, I don't owe you like an explanation. So I didn't reply. And then they replied again and they're like, of course, typical meat eater, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, bitch, I don't even eat meat. Like, first of all, then like you think that everyone that doesn't agree with you is like, it's just like ridiculous. Like, I personally, like, I was a vegetarian for 2 years and then I would eat meat occasionally. Right now, I'm not eating meat again, but it's like, I'm not gonna go on Twitter and yell at everyone and tell them, like, because that's like my personal choice not to eat meat for what, you know, I'm not going to get into that, but it's like I'm not like, wow, I'm changing the world right now. Like I'm saving like the Amazon and I'm saving like I'm resisting climate change because I'm not going to fucking eat meat. Like that doesn't, do I think people should eat less meat? Yeah, I do truly. Like I think there's benefits of it, but again, I'm not going to have this whole conversation about it right now, but it's like I don't think that I'm going to force everyone to eat meat or expect everyone to not eat meat. It's just this whole like placing the blame on individual people and like shaming you for everything versus like ever making like capitalist like the ones that should take responsibility. And like you saying like, yeah, like what are capitalists going to do? Like what is all that money going to do if like you don't have a planet? Right? Like you have all this money and there's no earth. Like for you, there's like no air for you to breathe. Like, what is that money gonna do? But that's just like, I think that's just like rich people. That's just like capitalists. Like they really do think like money saves you and money's gonna save you from all of these things. And like they don't give a shit about poor people. Like also like with climate change, like we've talked about also before, like whenever there's a hurricane, when there's tornadoes, like who are affected by it the most? Like poor people. And like rich people are the ones like doing this, but they're never gonna be really affected by it. If their house burns down in a wildfire, like they're just gonna get a new house. So like they don't give a shit. They don't give a shit as long as like they have money and they don't care how many poor black and brown people die.
Yeah, and on the discussion on veganism, like, I lived in Ventura for a while, and over there it's just like it was easy to be vegan just because everything, there's a bunch of like, that was just the culture in Ventura, but Ventura was also like one of the whitest places I've ever lived in. And then I remember between finishing community college in Ventura and then going to university in Davis, I spent some time back in my hood. And I was trying to keep my vegan diet up, and like it was impossible. Like, the nearest like healthy option, quote unquote, to eat was 2 cities away from my hood, because they didn't give the like the fresh fruits and the fresh produce to the markets where I lived, right? It was a food desert, and I remember posting the status up on Facebook like ages ago that Facebook reminded me of recently, and it was like, you know, there's something wrong when like you have to like travel 2 towns for the nearest healthy food option and then take 3 freeways to reach the nearest bookstore. Like, I don't think that folks in their like preachiness about eating less meat take into consideration like how systemic racism really keeps us from, you know, accessing these quote unquote healthier options, which, you know, are not healthy, not exactly healthy for everyone, right? But
Yeah,
still.
definitely. And that's one thing that's always bothered me about And it's not just white vegans, because I also know a lot of fucking brown vegans that do the same shit, and I'm like, eye roll, because...
Ugh, decolonize your diet.
Yeah, and it's like, are you going out into the community and, like, teaching people how to cook plant-based foods? Are you holding, like, classes for the community and helping them, like... You know what I mean? Because, like, when I went vegetarian, like, it was because my ex was vegan, and so, like, I had someone there that, you know... like introduce me to all this stuff, but it's like, it's a lot of people are like, yeah, I'm down, like I'm down to try the vegetarian diet, for example, or eat plant-based or cut less meat, but like, how do I do that? And like, no one's actually telling you how. They're just like, let me make a video of me at Dollar Tree and show you that you can eat vegan. God, that fucking video. And it's just all like junk food, and it's like, what, like I'm supposed to feed my, like, buy a bag of chips and give my kids, like, fucking Lay's chips for, like, dinner? Like, what? Like, anyway. Fucking vegans.
Shout out to the vegans that are down, though.
Yes, I'm not, you know we're not talking about you, but just some of these fucking vegans are so fucking racist, too. The comparisons they make to, like, animals, oh my God.
Just PETA? PETA. Just in general? Oh my God. Just everything they do, period.
I hate them so much. I hate them so much. But anyway, enough talk about the vegans. So let's move on to something else that was happening recently, where the protest in Mexico by a lot of women. A lot of women protesting, and I'm not going to go into graphic detail, but just a little trigger warning here. I'm going to mention rape and sexual assault, violence against women. So, I guess this happened within the last month. And it's like, this shit is not new. Like, when I read about it, I was like, this is like a fucking everyday thing that happens in Mexico, which is like fucked up, but it's not surprising and it's not new. But I guess... there was four cops that were accused of assaulting an underage girl. That's how, like, I guess sparked the protest. And then also, like, another cop, aside from that victim, who also assaulted a different underage girl. And so, obviously, a lot of women in Mexico were fucking pissed, right? Because, again, it's like, well, at what point... And this is not to say that this is the only protest that women have led in Mexico, or this is, like, the only... like outcry, because this shit has been happening for fucking decades, and there's always been a resistance by women in Mexico towards femicides. You know, like, it's not, none of this is new, but this was like the latest one that got a lot of attention. And so they started like a movement that I know the tag that they were using was "No me cuidan, me violan," and that translates to "You don't protect me, you rape me." Obviously towards the cops. And so it was a very like anti-cop, anti-state, of course, anti, like, violence against women, but also particularly against cops and the people that protect them, which is the state, right? So I thought it was a very, very, very powerful movement, like, seeing those pictures. And it was weird for me to say it was powerful or that I was inspired by it, because I'm like, it's fucked up that we have to be inspired by, like, this fucked up thing that happened, you know what I mean? So, like, I was, like, reflecting on, like, not using, like, I'm so inspired, but... looking at the pictures, I really did feel like angry. I felt like with that, like I understood, you know what I mean? Like, and I don't know if that's also me saying I understand, because I don't live in that reality every day, you know, like obviously as a woman everywhere, you're subject to like harassment, you're subject to violence and rape, but obviously I don't live in Mexico, so it's not like on that level, I should say. But, they were marching to, like, police headquarters. They were breaking windows. They were graffitiing monuments. Like, I'm sure most of you have all seen the pictures. If not, you can go on that tag. And so a lot of people, like, always were more outraged at, like, broken windows than violence against women, which is not new also. That happens at every protest. Like, why do you have to, you know, break this window? Or why are you destroying this when it's, like... that's more important, like, property is more important than racism or whatever you're protesting. In this case, broken windows and, like, monuments being graffitied are, like, more important than women's lives. And that says a lot. Like, again, none of this is new, but I think seeing it in 2019, it's like, why are we still, like, why do women and girls still have to fucking protest this in 2019, you know? And I don't know if those, I haven't read any updates on whether those cops, I think I only read that one of them was arrested, but we're probably not even going to see any of them be held accountable.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was also taken by it. You know, and a lot of these things aren't new. Like, I feel like often we romanticize the struggle of other folks and things like that. But when it comes down to it, like, there, you know, there's not, like, widespread support often. There's not mainstream coverage, and thus there's no justice for a lot of folks. And so my heart really goes out to the women out there, like, really fighting for justice, and I hope we keep them in the front of our minds as we consider, like, the ramifications of femicide that's been going on in Mexico for as long as, you know, colonization was a thing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, being in El Paso, like, especially being next to Juarez and having, like, Juarez being literally right here, like, Juarez is, you know, I think we all should be at least familiar with, like, the disappearing women of Juarez that has happened since the fucking, like, late 80s, 90s, like, ongoing. And nothing, like, not a damn thing has ever been done about even investigating their disappearances, like, at all. So, like, having people, like, be telling women who have had to deal with this fucking violence every day of their lives, like, to calm down, or that their anger is not valid, or that they need to find other ways to quote-unquote protest, and it's very infuriating. Like, it's fucked up. And, like, that's just, like, the, also ties into, obviously, like, the heavy religion that we see, not just in Mexico and Latin America, you know, Catholicism, and seeing machismo and all of that, it ties into that, you know. It's just a lot. What I'm trying to say is it's not new. We see it, like, all the time. Especially, there's always stories coming out of Juarez that I read all the time, and even in Juarez, like, they actually had a protest here in Juarez that I couldn't go to. I really wanted to go, but when I saw the pictures of, like, how many people showed up, it was, like, not that many. And it's not surprising, because I've gone to like, on Women's Day, like, they also have marches for Women's Day to highlight the disappearing women of Juarez. And I feel the times that I've gone, it's, like, very, like, it's mostly just the families of those women. Like, there's no, like, big, a big support for them even. So, like, it's really fucked up. So
and that's why I think it's, like, really urgent to, like, show up for folks, because, you know, it's, however we can, right? It's not always showing up at the protests. It's uplifting folks, like, however you can, educating folks. If you're a parent, talk to your sons about, like, violence against women. A lot of times we put this, like, the burden of abuse on women and on binary folks, when it's, like, men commit most of the abuse. And I'm thinking also about how often, like, these are working class folks who are being targeted, right? Because they're seen as less than, and often, you know, it's by authorities, by society, and, you know, and it's little things that add to that, like, things like, that we might see as innocuous, right, but often end up contributing to this, like, class divide and uplift, like, this caste system that isn't only racial, but also has to do with educational privileges, right? And I know we've joked about, like, you know, hashtag educated Latina, but I think we have to really consider the ways that celebrating, you know, going to college has to be done in a way that doesn't put other people down. Like, right? So that's where I think some folks might be taken aback, like, when we joke around about that hashtag. Like, I don't really know who started it, and that really doesn't matter. I think that for us, like, when we joke around about Educate Latina, we see a lot of folks who, you know, shit on working class folks who, you know, for X and Y reason, they couldn't, you know, get out of their situation, right? Or shit on, like, young mothers or folks who are incarcerated. And, like, there's a way to uplift, like, all of these stories because they all matter. Like, your success in college matters, as does, you know, somebody who's entered the system. Like, all these stories are important.
Yeah. And the reason, so, like, the Educate Latina shit, which we've talked about before, like, briefly, I feel like we had mentioned it when you had said, I forgot it was a quote that you said. That was like,
Ted Cruz is an educated Latina.
Yeah. Yes, but no. Yes, he's an educated Latina, but also you had said, oh, there was one specific quote where we were like, people just don't like you because you're an asshole. Like, when like, you know, people that are like, oh, people just don't like me because I have a degree. And it's like, no, you're just an asshole. But, well, like, yes, the Educate Latina thing is so fucking annoying, but if you don't follow me on Chicanisma, so, like, a while ago, like, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I literally had just posted this tweet, and it sucked because I was like, oh, I'm just gonna post, like, a lighthearted, like, post, like, nothing crazy, just, you know, like, a funny tweet that I saw, that was by Emily Annette on Twitter, at Emily Annette. Latinas eating hot Cheetos and walking during the mile run in PE was an act of resistance. Like, just a fucking simple, like, funny joke that I thought was funny that, you know, I was like, I'm just gonna share that. That's funny, you know? And it turned into, like, of course, like, always, like, this, like, awful, racist, classist, like, elitist thing. On top of, like, all these questions of, like, what do you mean? How is that resistance? And I'm like, oh, my God, like, it's a fucking joke. First of all, but then I had like a lot of people just being fucking classist, and it wasn't even white people. It was like, specifically on Facebook when I shared that, there was this one girl, who was like, oh, and I bet they're all pregnant. That was like the thing people were saying, like, oh, those girls are the ones that dropped out or are all pregnant or have like four kids and all that stuff. And their picture, this person that posted that, was like, her picture was like of her and her grad fucking, you know, graduating and shit. And I'm like, really, bitch? Like, and like, it turned into like this thread. Like, there were so many people telling her, like, yo, this shit is classist. This is like a very racial and classist stereotypes placed on Latina specifically. And she was like going on about like how she's rich now and how she just looks at her, like, just, like, the most classes, like, things, you know? And that's why I had made, like, a follow-up post about Educate Latinas, which then people started, you know, being upset about, too, because they were saying I was attacking Latinas in college, and I guess saying that they aren't shit, all of them. Whatever. But it was because of that, because it's like, oh, all of a sudden, you're in college, and, like, not just me, but I think, like, for Ruben, too, like, we've never came on this podcast and are like, you don't go to college, you guys. Like, oh, we'll call it, I mean, Ruben graduated from college. Like, I've stopped going to college because I'm broke, but I was trying out there. But it's, like, not even, the reason, like, I personally don't talk about academia or, like, school necessarily, is because, like, first, I'm not enrolled right now. I was going to a community college, but, like, that's just not, I just feel like there's a lot of people that always talk about academia, and I feel like that's important. Like, don't get me wrong, I feel like there's a lot of Latinx in academia in universities who are navigating it for the first time that don't have support systems, that don't have resources, so I do think it's important for those people to have those outlets and that support systems. But I also feel like if that's like the only thing, like, your quote-unquote activism is, like, that's very problematic to me, because, like, who, so then, you know, just say that your platform or your blog or whatever is just for people in college, like, and make that clear, because, like, when I follow people and all they're talking about is, like, academia and, like, education and getting degrees, and I'm just like, where do people like me fit in to that? Like, I don't, and a lot of the times it's also, like, just based on, like, theory and things that I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about, or I might know what you're talking about vaguely, but someone else might not know what the fuck you're talking about, right? And also, I don't know, just placing, like, so much importance on education, and I think a lot of people might disagree with me on that, because I had said, in this whole conversation, like, for me, the end goal is not education. Like, I don't think, like, in order to liberate everyone, I would be like, yeah, let's all get degrees. Because, like, what then? Like, we're all getting degrees, and then what happens then? Like, all of a sudden racism is gone, or classism, like, all of a sudden, like, you just turn into, like, you turn into an oppressor. Like, you're like, I made it, sorry, bye. You know? So that's, like, education. And again, I'm not saying if you go to college you're, like, a piece of shit. Like, obviously not. And I think that being in college, getting there, and all the obstacles that a lot of us would have to overcome to even make it is a lot. And I think, like, everyone definitely should be proud that they made it. But it's also, like, let's be real. Like, that doesn't give you an excuse to, like, shit on other people. And I think people should have conversations always on what are you doing after college? Because, like, okay, you got your degree, and, like, the whole time people are getting degrees, they make posts about, like, this is for my hood, this is for my family, this is for my community. And then, like, after they graduate, it's like, well, I've never seen you in the community, though. Like, or, like, what are you actually... So, like, you know what I mean? It's, like, very, like, performative to me when people do that. And so I'm very, like, okay, you got a degree for your community or whatever you want to call it, but what are you doing to, like, help your community with that degree?
Yeah, that's always been one of my biggest pet peeves and fears, is that I see people are like, oh, you know, doing it for my family, for my hood, and then don't help shit, right? Aren't involved with shit, are just become capitalists or just become institutionalized. And I think for me, it's just like, I did college because that's kind of what was ingrained in me all my life. It took me 9 years to graduate college. I had to drop out, like, after 2 semesters because of money. Then I did community college, like, you know, whenever I could afford it. And then finally went back to university in my mid-20s. And I felt very self-conscious about being, like, I mean, I graduated at 27. And as I get older and I've considered, like, going back to school, I have to continuously question, like, why would I do this? Like, what is the... what I expect to gain from this? Because sometimes I catch myself and it's like, oh, I want to go back to graduate school because people in grad school get more respect. And, like, and that's very real, even in the most revolutionary spaces. Like, you have, you know, these scholars, I'm not going to name them, who just regurgitate, like, shit that indigenous folks have been telling us for ages. But because they got a book deal and they got the backing of a university, all of a sudden they become legitimate. And all the shit that indigenous folks have said, like, that's bullshit. And then I also think about how, for example, some Chicanx studies departments, I'm not trashing yours specifically, whoever's listening, I'm just saying generally, like, a lot of the Chicano studies departments are very invested in this very, like, we are all indigenous shit, which really erases a lot of actual indigenous folks, right? And it does this because so much of the research that has gone into university has been, you know, centered around, like, making Chicanxes, like, you know, making them out to seem the most oppressed, right? And that required, like, usurping certain identities that weren't theirs to claim. Meanwhile, indigenous folks have been kept out of universities, like, for most of history. I went to UC Davis, where the percentage of indigenous students was, like, 0.02%. And I think it was actually a little bit worse, or it got worse. Like, 0.02%. And that was in 2017, 16. Like, that means that a lot of the indigenous knowledge that is in this specific institution and institutions like it, like, it isn't even when it is about indigenous folks, a lot of the times it's, like, racist, ethnocentric, like, stuff that looks at indigenous folks as objects and not as, like, actual scholars with knowledge that might not be academic, but it's still important. And so, for me, I went to school with a lot of folks. I was very involved in the Latinx community, and I went to school with a lot of folks who did have the whole educate a Latina outlook on things. And, like, for me, like, that has never been the goal. Like, my goal has always been centering, like, queer and trans liberation, particularly for people of color. And that doesn't always happen within the confines of the ivory tower. like a lot of the times when we push these kids to go to university, like a lot of the times we're just encouraging them to go traumatize themselves, because that's what college is a lot of fucking time. Like, you're entering systems that don't know what to do with you, who, or they do know what to do with you, but that is inflict violence, because that's what a lot of these colleges were built to do. And so for me, it's like, how can we learn to value all types of knowledge? How can we learn to value all types of paths, right? And that's been my critique of, like, the whole educated Latina thing, or educated Latino thing, educated Latinx thing. It's like, yes, it's cute you have this degree, but what are you doing with it? Like, how are you actually helping folks? And if you're not helping folks, like, be honest about that. Like, not everybody has to be this fucking revolutionary, which it would be cool if everybody would be, but the reality of it is that some people got to build buildings and not think, and shit like that. And so, or whatever. Like, so for me, it's more having to do with, like, are you honest about the impact you're trying to make in this world? And if you're not, then I think that it's time that you take a hard look at yourself and question why you think that a piece of paper makes you above anybody else.
Yep.
Yeah. You know who else is an educated Latina, though?
Aside from Ted Cruz?
Aside from Ted Cruz and Ana Gavaro. Ana Navarro.
Who?
Rosalia.
Wow. Her sister got a degree, too.
For real. She got it from, I don't know, the Spaniard School of Arts or something like that.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so tell us who she is, though, before we start.
Before we start roasting her. So Rosalia is this, like white girl from Spain. She, you know, made her big debut with, like, her last album. I forgot the name of it. It's, like, Malaventura or something like that. And she was covered as, like, the new it girl by all the publications, like, Latinx publications, indie publications. Everybody was up her ass. And then she was, like, she got hype. She was like, oh, everybody loves me. Let me go make a reggaeton album. Or let me go collaborate with all these reggaeton artists. And she's been, like, widely received by everybody. They're like, yeah, fuck yeah, we love this white girl singing, like, Afro-Latinx music. Like, that is our jam. And, you know, people like to talk about, like, cultural exchange and shit like that. But there's no cultural exchange happening here. Like, Afro-Latinxes aren't even allowed into the mainstream iteration of the music that they started, like reggaeton. And so to have this white girl get these accolades for appropriating music, like, it's upsetting. The most recent award she got was, like, the VMA award for, like, best Latin song. People want to be, like, obtuse about, like, what Latin means or whatever Latinx means, and it's like, no, bitch, like, we all know what Latin America is. Like, it's South America, Central America, and, like, some of the Caribbean, like, because not all Caribbean folks see themselves as Latinx. Like, that's what Latinx music entails. Like, Spaniards are colonizers, like, they're over there, and they only cared about this music when it became popular. Like, reggaeton music, Latinx music, is, like, the most popular music in the world currently. I think for the longest time, like, J Balvin and Bad Bunny have beaten out Drake as, like, the most popular act in the world. Like, of course, like, these Españolas are going to want to get, Españolexes are going to want to get it in the mix. So, yeah, that's who Rosalía is. I think I just went, like, over-explaining.
That's okay. No, thank you, because I didn't know who she was when you told me, and then I was like, who's that? But then, actually, no. Now, a few months ago, I want to say, or maybe more, like, last year, I actually remember now, there was a publication that had put out, like, a video that said she was Latina, and I remember sharing it. I didn't know who she was, but I remember sharing it, and I was like, how is she Latina when she's from Spain? And in the video, like, I think she even herself, I think, identified or, like, said she was Latina and said she loved, like, elotes or some shit. I don't even know. I'm trying to find it. Like, it was just a hot mess.
She said something like, whenever I go to, like, some place in South America, I forgot where.
I think it was Mexico. I don't remember.
Was it?
I don't know.
She said, like, whenever I visit this place in Latin America, I remember, I feel really connected to being a Latina. And it's like, what? You're literally a colonizer.
That's the video I'm talking about. And so, like, now I'm like, oh, wait, I think it was her. And I didn't know who she was at the time. Like, I was like, okay, who's this? I don't know who this person is, but this shit is whack. Like, why is she, like, being, like, whatever. But it... I'm just so tired of having this conversation of what does Latinx mean? What does Hispanic mean? What is nationality versus race versus like these tired conversations that we have like all the damn time. And I get it. Like some people are like new to this shit. Like they're coming in and they're like, like they're trying to figure out what it is. But like how do I explain it? Like if you're not new to like, you know what I mean? Like following us or being on Twitter and like seeing these conversations and you're still like you don't get it, and maybe it's like purposely, because I think a lot of us a lot of white Latinxes, for example, and a lot of even if you're light skinned, like I feel like it's like this, like you don't want to let that go. Like you, how do I explain it? Like for you to say, like if you're a white Latina, right, to say that you're a white Latina, like I feel like they don't want to say that. And so they'll jump through hoops so that they're like, they don't have to acknowledge their privilege. And so that they can hold on to like their Latinidad, when it's like, no one's trying to take that away. We're just saying you're white. Right. And like not wanting to say you're white, because then that would mean that you'd have to acknowledge your privilege. That means that you'd have to acknowledge that you don't experience racism. You'd have to acknowledge that you're not a person of color. And like, I kind of get, like, I want to say that I get that. Like, I get like you identified as such and such your whole life. And then someone's like, actually you're, you know, you should probably rethink that whole thing. And like having to do that could be a little like it takes work to like do the self-reflection. But like, let's not say it's like this like awful, like exhausting thing. It's like, you're white. Okay. You're white. And then like, what are you going to do about it? You know what I mean? Like, it's not the end of the world. Like just say you're fucking white. And like, what does that mean? And how are you like, yeah, like what does that mean? And like, how are you not going to be a piece of shit going forward? Right. And it's like a lot of people are not willing to do that. So they're like just like hanging on to this like identity, which is like Latinidad, or they're hanging on to like I'm Hispanic, or they're hanging on to like I'm Chicana, you know, instead of saying like I'm a white Chicana. Or, I don't know if that makes sense, but I feel like that like prevents people from like moving forward, because I'm just like tired of having this conversation like every few months, especially even on this podcast, like something happens and then we have to like re-explain like all of these things. And like I was actually on your Twitter last night, Ruben, that you were talking about this, and then someone was like, can you explain this to me? And people literally, and this person looked like a white Latina from what I recall in my head, but regardless, people were like, oh, you know, like check out Bitter Brown Femmes. Like you even link them to like episodes which we've talked about this, and they're like, why couldn't you just answer me? And it's like at this point, it's like you just don't want to do the work, because there's so many resources out there for you that people are literally like, hey, here's a fucking whole episode on this. Maybe you should listen to it. And like they don't want to do that. Like they just want to go in circles and like argue about it. And, like, that's really fucking tiring.
Yeah, that one was particularly upsetting. And it's, like, and it was, it was upsetting but also reassuring, because, like, people, like, that's not a unique message I get on Twitter or Facebook or whatever. Like, I get a lot of, like, well, explain this to me. Like, and it's, like, I get that people need to learn, but also I've explained myself on this topic, like, a million times. Like, I'm going on my fourth year as being, like, a public educational blog, and it's, like, all of my content is free, like you can access all of it there and there, but you choose not to because you want easy answers. And so I remember when this person was like, well, explain to me, because I the tweet that I had sent out, I was like, all this conversation has played out, but we're gonna have to keep having it every couple of months when we have a new batch of folks who don't understand, or who like are still trying to undo that indoctrination of like, you know, of racist nationalism that we're taught from day one, right? From day one. And what that means is that, like, since we're born in Latin America, we're taught that, like, your nationality is your race, right? So there's this popular saying in Latin America, like, oh, we don't see race here. We're all Mexican, or we're all, you know,
Puerto Rican,
Colombian, or, yeah, mm-hmm. whatever. And it's a really popular saying, but it's, like, at the end of the day, like, it's a lie, because people do see race, and there is a caste system in place. Right, like a caste system that didn't allow Black Mexicans to be recognized until about 5 years ago, a caste system in Brazil that, you know, excluded Indigenous folks from living in the cities, and who keeps a lot of them living in favelas. Like, this exists, and us ignoring it is helping it continue its sinister violence, right? And so that's kind of what I meant by the indoctrination of racist nationalism. And it's a hard thing to like undo, but there's resources, a lot of resources. Like a lot of our episodes are about this, right? It's not like we have a very special episode every time, but like we cover it as much as we can as it relates to a particular story. And so, but we did have one where it was like, don't be electric sheep, where like the full episode was like unpacking this, also unpacking like how Frida is, you know, also culturally appropriate and things like that. And it's like, but when you come at me and you ignore all this work that I've put into this, like, that's upsetting. Because it just kind of makes it feel like, okay, what the fuck I'm doing if people want to ignore all this shit. Like, there's some things that I can explain. Like, if you ask me what cis means, right? It's like, okay, cis means, like, not, you know, like, not trans. That basically that your gender and your sex align. Although it's the textbook dictionary definition of cis, even that definition of cisgender is kind of reductive and outdated. A more precise definition of cisgender would be when someone agrees with the gender that they were assigned at birth. And that's mainly because the concept of sex is altogether flawed, right? Because when people refer to sex, they usually are referring to, like, the genitalia that a doctor sees when they were born, and thus like a perceived like chromosomal like arrangement. But that doesn't take into consideration that there's like A, like a ton of different variations of chromosomes, and B, that like even like the genitalia that someone is born with like isn't indicative of sex. Like, for example, like intersex folks who might be assigned a certain sex at birth because of genitalia, which could end up being wrong because certain intersex conditions are only visible as a person grows older. So a more clear way to address what like doctors do when they look at genitalia is to acknowledge that what they're doing is not identifying sex, because that's difficult for anyone to really identify. What they're doing is assigning a gender based on genitalia. So yeah, that's just a clarification. Thank you to Abigail and Aranya for calling me in. And yeah, back to the show. Right, but when you're asking, like, you know, these big questions that have to, you know, require all these steps to explain, like, that isn't something that I can just, you know, say on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, but I have said already on Twitter. Yeah. Like, I've already explained, like, multiple times. People just ignore that. And so that was upsetting. I forgot how we got here. Oh, yeah, Rosalia.
How did we get here? Through colonization, a.k.a. Rosalia. So...
Oh, TBH. The Spaniard Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, but it's, like, it is, like, annoying, but, like, to recap all of that, because, again, like, and this is what we mean when we have these conversations every few months, it's, like, not just saying, like, let me tell you the difference between Latino, Hispanic. It's like a whole conversation, because to just say, like, I've seen so many videos like We Are Me Too or like other Latinx like platforms that have like put out videos like explaining the difference. And like, I think that's very important. But at the same time, it's like so much more than that. It's like so much more than just like, this is what Hispanic means. This is what Latinx, like it's like race and it's ethnicity and it's like, caste systems, like you said, and it's like also class and like, and you know, like it's so much more than just like check this box, you know, this means you're Hispanic or like this means that. And it's like and like, again, a lot of people like are new to this, and like this is why especially like people like me and Ruben like have platforms and like have this podcast, because we want to reach those people, but we also like don't want to get stuck there. Like, we want people to grow with us too, you know. And like, if you learned anything from this podcast, like we would hope that you would pass that on, you know what I mean, to reach more people. Like, it's kind of like a ripple effect. But it's also like, why, like, we're just like every week people expect us to like talk about this like every single week, you know. And a lot of it, again, is because people actually don't care. Like, they just want to argue with you, or they just want to like not take a look at themselves, because, you know, people don't want to acknowledge their privilege. Like, it just comes down to that. Like, And like going back to like, well, I don't even want to get into Chicano studies right now, but it like, I know right now you had said about like who, like trying to put on all these identities on yourself so that you can be the most oppressed, right? Because like it's more convenient and more comfortable to be like, I'm this, this, and that, I'm indigenous, and I'm like all of these things, so that you're not accountable for anything, and so that you don't have to acknowledge your privilege, and so that you don't have to be like, maybe I did have it easy in this aspect of my life compared to other people, right? Like when your whole life you've been like, I'm Mexican, that means Trump hates me and only me, you know? Because I mean, come on. But anyway, that's just to say that this girl Rosalia is white, in case you missed that. She's from Spain. She is not Latinx. She won an award that was like for a Latinx artist, and that's why people are upset. And I've seen like comments of people that are like, well, she didn't necessarily win like for being Latina, like she won because her music is Latin, quote unquote, like that it was like a category of genre versus like specifically intended for a Latinx person. But I also feel like that's a cop-out, because I'm also like, I mean,
like, what is she doing there to begin with?
But it's also like you had mentioned, like the Black folks who actually, particularly like Black Latinx people who started this genre, are like not even in mainstream like reggaeton, you know? They're like, they're not even given access to these spaces, like a lot of, in even our spaces, like which we talk about too, like we need to examine why, if we're like, oh, let's throw a like Latinx event, or if we're in like a community space that's supposed to be like Latinx and inclusive or whatever, like why aren't there any Black Latinx in your space? Why don't they feel welcome, or why haven't you reached out to them? And it's like, we are more than willing to welcome all these white people, not just like white Latinx and center them, but also like not even Latinx, just like white people, and like center them in our conversations and movements and include them. But we don't give that same energy to actual Black Latinx people, like at all, you know? Because it's easier to like praise some fucking white girl that speaks Spanish with a lisp than like actual fucking like Black Latinas.
Yeah, I think about like how Amara La Negra like really tried her best to make it work in the US, but like she was not, even though she's hella charismatic and talented, she was not getting the features that the Rosalia girl got out of nowhere, right? Even veterans like Evie Queen, like she talks about how like all these people cite her as inspiration, but nobody like books her and nobody like wants to feature with her. And it's like, y'all love whiteness, and that's why it's so much easier to incorporate this like Spaniard girl into the genre than it is to include the people who actually created it. Like, yeah. And just like for the record, like you can argue that Rosalia is Hispanic because Hispanic means Spanish speaking, but she's not Latinx. Like Latinx means like from Latin America, right? So just for the record.
You know, so.
All right. And with that, we are going to close out the episode with one of my favorite artists, Evie Queen, the mother of reggaeton, the queen of reggaeton, La Caballota, La Potra. I remember when reggaeton was, like, making an impact, like, in the West Coast, like, in the early 2000s. Like, I, you know, thought some shit was, like, bomb, like, gunshot, gunshot, like, moan. Like, that was the shit. But I remember, like, Evie Queen specifically, like, she was the only girl doing it, like, big. And her, like, her jam, like, Yo Quiero Bailar, like, it was just about, like, you know, being empowered to dance, you know, outside of the male gaze, like, you know, without anything leading to sex. Like, yeah, I think that was, like, one of the most, it continues to resonate with people. And it's, I was saddened to hear that, like, nobody wants to collaborate with her just because she's not, like, this hot new artist. Because Evie Queen has always had so many things working against her, you know. She's, like, not, she jokes around about her own look. She calls herself, like, you know, horse girl. Like, you know, not horse girl. She calls herself, like, a female horse. Like, she thinks she looks, she, that's what the nickname her when she was growing up. Like, because she was ugly, you know, and she's not white. and she has like a tough like persona, all things that people like don't usually celebrate in women.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was sad to hear that, but I just wanted to like celebrate her legacy this episode by playing Te Querido Te Orado.
Yes, we're gonna get crunk. No one says crunk. I'm sorry I said that. I'm mother. We're gonna get I don't know what the word is. You know. I just feel like usually we play Seta songs, so
do they have like a tone in El Paso?
Wow, yes, bitch. We do. We actually do. Yeah, I was gonna say I feel like most of the whenever we play Spanish songs, they're like more upbeat versus like the sad ass like songs that we play. No, I don't think we play sad songs. Do we? I don't know. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna make a playlist of all the songs that we've played on every episode. So y'all can, it'll be the Bitter Brown Femmes playlist, and we'll just add every song that we play. But anyway, just a thought. Tell me if you like it. So with that, I guess we'll conclude this episode because we've talked a lot, as always. And yeah, as we mentioned, if you want to book us, we're poor. And also, like we mentioned also that we do this for free. On top of, like, I know Ruben has like 10 other projects and shit that he also does for free, you know, so it's not just Bitter Brown Femmes. Like, I'm also like on Chicanisma too. Like, we have things outside of Bitter Brown Femmes, but even Bitter Brown Femmes itself, it's because of love that we have for you all, that we want to have these conversations with you all. And it's again, it's free, and that's not to be like, you know, it's free, like you should be thankful or whatever, but it is like, it is a lot of work, and we do it obviously because we want to and because we care about this shit.
And yeah, yes. And like one of the ways to like be able to keep it sustainable is to be able to do like speaking gigs and be able to keep a Patreon. So if you can support us on those things, that would mean a lot. Yeah. And again, bookings, you can reach out to us at bitterbrownfemspodcast.com/bookings. The link will also be in the description of the episode.
Yes. So with that, we hope to see you very soon, hopefully this fall. I mean, if y'all can help us out with that. If not, we'll see you again. I mean, when we record again. If not, we'll just see you when we record again.
Alright. Take care, y'all.
Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Muchos le llaman bachateo. Yo le llamo sentimiento. Vamos a roncar ahora. Hey, ma, flow. Dos. Te he querido. Hey, soy la diva. La caballota. Te he querido.